Miss Donna. Miss Donna, when I was in high school, she served as our custodian at our school. Day in and day out, her feet carried her all over the premises. She kept school ship shape, but most of us hardly ever noticed. I mean, we saw her around, but we didn't really actually think much about what she did. After all, we were self-consumed teenagers, unconcerned about the much-needed sweeping and dusting up after us. And my friends and I gave little thought to Miss Donna's hands and feet. Until that late summer, early fall, that she needed to be away for medical reasons. The office looked and looked for someone to fill in for Miss Donna. No one was stepping up. After all, it was a dirty job. They got desperate. They heard that a certain young man did cleanup work at his evening Woolworths job. Guess whose parents voluntold, strongly urged, encouraged that young man that he should become Miss Donna's hands and feet? 2 weeks, I scrubbed school toilets. Teenager toilets, they're just the best. Oh. Miss Donna's hands and feet serve as a powerful reminder. Every part is important in Christ's body, the church. Every part is important in Christ's body, the church. We are better together and we need each other. Every part is important in Christ's body, the church. We are better together and we need each other. There's something so tricky, very tricky, about this life-giving work we have as King Jesus Church. It's so much more than going through the motions, showing up on the church campus every so often, or jumping online for self-betterment, life skills improvement, or family development. Now, human bent toward a consumer mindset ran rampant pre-COVID. It's been exacerbated the last couple years. This is a real issue for us at Manor Church, and really churches and organizations everywhere. A human bent toward a consumer mindset. A consumer mindset versus others-oriented, Christ-honoring mindset. Serve others mindset. But together, we love God and we love others. We share the good news and we do good together. It's Jesus' way, lived for others. It's all about Jesus, his life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love, and work. Absolutely. And I want to urge you this morning and across this whole series this month to regularly ask yourself, is this true of me? Is Jesus' life, love, and work flowing through my life, love, and work? I have a hunch, if you really ponder that question, you'll discover yes! It is in more ways than I thought. And in some other points, if we're honest with ourselves, in some other zones and regions of our lives, we might have to conclude, I've probably still got some room to grow in letting Jesus, his life, love, and work flow through my life, love, and work so that I am his hands and feet in this world. We have amazing opportunities for influence in 2023. Absolutely. Now, we're going to lay some stepping stones this morning in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans 12. Join me there, please. The Apostle Paul invested thoughtful eloquence in the first 11 chapters of Romans, expounding the grace and mercy of God. Christ sacrificed us in his body. His victory over the grave, in his body. His ascension back to heaven in his glorified and very real physical body. Jesus' body. Such bodily saving grace through Jesus for us, bringing us merciful pardon, forgiveness of our sins, and a gracious new lease on life. Now, and Paul says it in Romans chapter 8, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Wow. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a change. And in Romans 12, Paul says, we now go on to apply the mercy and grace of God, a life serving God, by serving others. We're called to serve, to be Christ's hands and feet to others. Go ahead, if you're physically able, wave your hands for a minute. Go ahead, play along. Wave your hands. Cool. Oh, cool. Okay. And if you're physically able, go ahead and you're sitting on a bench, so you can do this. Wave your feet. Go ahead. Wave your feet. Some of you are like, whew, did my exercises for the day. Got my workout in. Yeah. Hands and feet. The whole of who you are. Amazing opportunities. Your body. The whole you is an integral part of Christ's whole body, the church, for the sake of others, for the good of others. Bob Mulholland defines our spiritual formation like this. It's being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. It's being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. This is the essence of discipleship. This is the essence of being a Jesus follower. We're being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. How many of you like to play board games or table games? How many of you can't stand them? Okay, a couple honest people. At our house, several times a year, the dominoes come out. Anybody else dominoes fans? Dominoes? Mexican train for us, okay? And when these come out, when this metal box with the clanging dominoes comes out at our house, it's usually holidays or vacation, and when it comes out, it is the source of all kinds of good stuff. I mean, laughter happens and all kinds of banter, and usually along the way, because we have a couple members of our family who take forever to actually play their domino, and so we end up in like big conversations about things at times and all that, and it really goes well, really does. Memories are made, and our lives are truly enriched because of dominoes most of the time. See, every so often, somebody gets selfish, and ugliness ensues. And this normally happens for whoever is not winning, right? Who knew that dominoes could get cutthroat, right? Unfortunately, this happens in Christ's body. If we get self-absorbed and consumeristic and envious of others or arrogant in our outlook. What's it take to make a shift from unhealthy attitudes in order to truly be Jesus' hands and feet so that we truly live as Christ's serving body? What's it take? Well, this morning we're going to start to explore spiritual gifts, who we are, and what it means to serve with Jesus' genuine, loving heart. Paul shows us three attitude shifts we're going to see this morning. Three attitude shifts. First, there's a shift in my attitude toward God. And it goes like this. I'm all yours, Lord. Use me as you wish. Will you say it with me? Let's say it together. I'm all yours, Lord. Use me as you wish. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is sacred surrender, personal consecration. The therefore is in light of all Paul has already described about God's merciful story, his grace poured out through Christ's death and resurrection for us. And he's been doing that in the first 11 chapters of Romans. Now Paul urges us toward this sacred consecration. He's echoing the idea of the Old Testament sacrifices presented by the priests at the sacred altar. But there's a distinct difference. Did you notice it? This is a voluntary, grace-based, living sacrifice. It's not offered to God out of grief, guilt, or legalism. It's not a dead and done sacrifice. It's living and ongoing. It's not even so much about the pain of giving something up as it is offering my whole life out of joy and eagerness. I mean, think about it. Christ died in his body, and he rose again in his glorified physical body, and he ascended in his body so we can live for him as his serving body. What a privilege. What an all-out joy. The word for offer, this is so cool. The word for offer or present is the idea of offering something in complete consecration, a sacred surrender. Intriguingly, this was used regarding Jesus as a baby. When his parents presented him in the temple when he was just 8 days old, Luke captures it this way. Luke 2, verse 22 says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, to offer him up. His parents were offering up Jesus, his whole self, body, mind, soul, and spirit, for the Father's sacred purpose. Now Paul calls us to do the same. It's this idea of our whole selves being offered for God's sacred purposes. Your whole self being offered for God's sacred purposes. I'm all yours, Lord. Use me as you wish. Notice the nature of this living sacrifice. It's holy. That means it's in a unique league all its own of purity and dedication. It's acceptable. Pleasing. It's a little bit like coming home on an extra busy weekend, like you're rolling into Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday night when you're having people over and you walk in the door. Does this ever happen to anybody? You walk in the door and most of the chores are already done. Like somebody else in the house, like mobilized, and you walk in the door and it's like, some of you are looking at me like, no, that never happens at my house. Like, how do you make that happen at your house? Well, sometimes it can. And some of you are looking at each other right now like, ooh, that'd be good. How about you do that? Yeah. What happens if you've had that happen before? You walk in the door and you're like, woo, this is sweet. You're pleased. There's something that just, and then inside you're like, yeah, this just makes sense. This should happen all the time. Yeah, there's this sense right here in what Paul says about this being your acceptable worship, or the idea of proper or logical. There's this sense of this just makes sense. This is just logical that this should work this way. And Paul calls us to do the same. The idea is this makes good sense. Smart service and worship. Logical. Taking good care of your body for God's glory is a great application. Absolutely. Break addictive, body destructive habits. And all of us face those in life. All of us do. But that's not the totality of what God's aiming for with living sacrifice. Avoiding what's profane is indeed so essential. But a bigger point, you choose intentional influence on others. It's the idea of deliberately giving our bodies all we are, all our physical and mental energy and effort in acts of service to make a hands and feet difference on behalf of others. I'm all yours, Lord. Use me as you wish. We say it with me again. Let's say it together. I'm all yours, Lord. Use me as you wish. And right about now, somebody in the crowd or online is hearing Wesley or Buttercup shouting, as you wish. Old Princess Bride. And isn't that the essence of others-oriented love? The very essence of others-oriented love, as you wish. See, you dare to do what's messy and costly and Jesus-like, bloody, out of your way for others in his name. And we joyfully live for him by giving our whole person, the totality of who we are, your very best for him. Now look at 12:2. Catch the contrast. You see it? Not conformed, but transformed. We stop fitting into the worldly, self-centered, outward scheme of this present age. Instead, and it's a stunning contrast, be transformed. All of me, all for you, God. What you want, God. That's the essence of God's will. Learning to live in the rhythms of as you wish, Lord. What you want, God, I see it in your holy word, as you wish. I hear your spirit speak this into my life, that I ought to go there, I ought to do this, I ought to change in this way, as you wish, Lord. I'm all yours. I'm all in. I hear the Lord prompting me to serve in this way or come alongside this person and make an impact in their life with the gospel, and as you wish, Lord. Yes. Look at 12:3. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, Paul says, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This next shift is in attitude toward self. That first shift was in attitude toward God. This shift is in attitude toward self. And here it is. Will you say this with me? Let's say it aloud together. It's not all about me. Again, it's not all about me. One more time. It's not all about me. It's so hard to get that through, isn't it? See, I get tripped up, and we get tripped up when we overthink ourselves. We can hold an inflated view of ourselves. And instead, Paul is saying we need to be humble and grounded and realistic. Notice God has put us together in the one body with many parts functioning together to serve one another. Catch verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, note that. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. We do not all have the same function, but we are one body. Christ's body, right here, right now. Our unity together. Notice that our unity together is based on Christ and are encountering him in Christ. That's what that means. We encounter him in the everyday rhythms of our lives and all the comings and goings. We seek to constantly be knowing him and growing in him. Many parts. Many parts. Each one different and each one very important for the whole. Now look at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Well, let's unpack what Paul is saying when he uses the word gifts. This word is intricately connected to the word grace. Grace in the ancient language sounds like this, charis, charis. And gifts sounds like this, charisma, charisma. They're intricately connected. Aged sage author Dr. Hans Helmut Esser shared these historic insights. Esser says, Paul understands the whole movement of the Christian life from beginning to end as grace, manifold outworking of grace through the Spirit is called by Paul charisma, a personal endowment with grace. Special grace gifts are spiritual endowment for serving for the life of the community. That's crucial to hear, crucial to understand, for the life of the community. And then note what he says. He says it has both inward and outward-looking aspects. Ponder that. Both inward and outward-looking aspects. It is inconceivable. Boy, this is a Princess Bride day, isn't it? Inconceivable to Paul that there should be any Christian without some gift of grace. At the same time, a single individual may be characterized by more than one gift of grace. So now listen to verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8, 12, 7 and 8, Paul says, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Here in Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul is urging, whatever way you are gifted, use it for others. Go for it. Do what God gifted you to do. If you're gifted to prophesy, to give a solid proclamation and crisp imagination of God's truth that challenges others to new life, do it well. It's the essence of prophecy. Help people reimagine life God's way. Here's God's truth. Here's how your life could look different. Crisp, fresh imagination to envision a different way to live. Paul says, prophesy clearly, matching your faith or the faith. And the faith means that established body of truth. Established truths that Jesus was and is God's Son, the established body of truth that he died for us, he rose again for us, he's our living Lord and Savior and sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our advocate, and Jesus is now interceding for us. That established body of truth, it says, proclaim it. Prophesy. If your gift is special helps to the needy, serving, go all out serving, Paul says. If your gift is teaching, teach with passion and full energy. If yours is exhorting, strengthening, and encouraging others, pour on the encouragement. If giving is your gift, don't be skimpy, wimpy. Give with overflowing generosity. If it's leading, here's the concept of standing at the helm of the ship and steering the wheel, pointing the way through the waters. If it's leading, then stand up in front of others and point the way. Paul says, lead with all diligence. If you've got a mercy gift, compassion in action flows through you to others. Conveys this idea that there's this word here attached to it, shows up as cheerful. It actually conveys a little more than just put a smile on your face. It's a little more than that. And it's actually the idea of hilarity. Like, you're so joyful. There you go. I get to serve like this. Woo! When's the last time you treated your gift like with hilarity? I get to do this. I get to serve. I get to show mercy. Years ago, our family needed to move from Iowa back here to Pennsylvania. We had helped for a block of years with a church replant, and we were moving back to the East Coast to help plant a brand new church. And we had been there for a block of years and invested in families and individuals there within the church. And so a number of people really were not happy that we were moving back to the East Coast. And that makes you feel good, you know. And there were a few other people that were glad we were moving. Just reality. But we were making this move, and it was load-up day. It was pack-up day. And we wondered, will anybody show up to help us? Because the vast majority of people were, like, really sad and kind of had, you know, given us the business about the fact we were leaving and moving. And so we were like, will anybody show up to help? And Charlie Brown showed up. For real. This guy's name was Charlie Brown. Real name. He had big time helping, serving gifts, extra doused with administrative gifts. And then on top of that, for years, he had been a professional mover. Oh, It was great. Charlie did one thing all day. He stood on the truck, directed traffic, and packed our truck. Best move ever. I was crazy. When I had packed trucks before when we were moving, you know, just like, and the truck's like half full, but it looks like it's full. And Charlie got every inch out of that place, every tiny amount of space. We were jammed up, and he did it great. Our family was so blessed. Why? Because Charlie Brown showed up, served out of his gifts, right in the spot he belonged. And I let him do it. I'm like, go for it, man. Now, it's really vital we realize this whole deal of gifts and who we are and how we serve is not simply a self-betterment program. Sometimes when we talk about gifts and serving, we get this mistaken notion because there are self-help books and programs that abound, and it's tempting to view life through a make me great and mighty mindset. Too often we apply that with grace gifts as well. Like we're the lone mountain climber. Because I become more, therefore I become a better dad, and I become a better mom, and I become a better student, and in Christ I become. And we tend to treat things like it's back to all about me, all about us, Lone Ranger. And there's a sense in which those are good aims, absolutely. Solid potential outcomes of life in Christ, yes, indeed. But they are not the end game. They are not the end game. No, the whole point of encountering the grace and mercy of Christ, it's way more. It's more about what we can do together for others. This is probably my favorite picture from the last 12 months in the life of our church. I have lots of pictures on my phone of stuff in the last 12 months. This is probably my favorite. And some of you are like, wait, I'm in there. Wait, I know the person right there. It's one of my favorites because it just captures the essence of who we are and why we're here. You know, this is a picture from our fall fest a few months back. And it's the essence of who we are and why we're here. We love others as Jesus' hands and feet together. Too many of us think the body of Christ is a solo sport, or we ignore and downplay others, or we get all hung up about who we think ought to be doing what, and we try to make too much of your team leader, or too much of staff members, or too much of board members, and or we blame, or we play shame games, or we do all kinds of stuff that really gets things convoluted. We're together in this. We're stronger because we're together. And so we aim to figure out who we are and what our gifts are and how this comes together for God's glory. There's so much more. So much more Jesus has planned together for us for his glory. Watch these images and let your heart get swept up in the gifts. Watch these images. Take a look. Another fun fact about Miss Donna. All week long, her hands and feet blessed our school as custodian. On Sundays, she was part of a team at our church, the interpretation team, for those who were deaf and hearing challenged. And so she would stand in front of the congregation, and those same hands that dusted school chalkboards and scrubbed toilets all week long would marvelously interpret songs and scriptures, the message of the gospel, on Sunday mornings. My mom served with Miss Donna, and I've never forgotten how vitally life-giving both of those loving, serving, hands and feet actions were from Miss Donna. One more vital shift. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Here's a shift in my attitude toward others. That first shift was toward God. The second shift was toward myself, yourself. This third shift is toward others. It goes like this. I will pour out authentic love in serving others. Will you join me and say it? Let's say it aloud. I will pour out authentic love in serving others. Not hypocritical, not a phony show. And Paul describes such authentic love in serving. Look at what it looks like and feels like. It includes hating what is evil. Hate can be positive. also involves gluing yourself. Gluing yourself to what is good. And then catch verses 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Authentic love in serving includes brother-like honor to one another. Verse 11 says it includes enthusiasm, genuine passion, and zeal as you serve. Verse 12 spotlights rejoicing in confident hope. So we move past being negative and timid. Christ-honoring service includes patience in trouble. It's intriguing. Lets us know it won't be all smooth sailing if we serve Jesus and others. While serving, we'll face struggles, and those struggles become a garden for our patience to grow. Authentic loving service includes consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. It's not just all go, 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 do, do, do. Love in action must be wrapped in reliant prayer. So even at wrap-up of our service today, if you've got somebody on your heart you're seeking to bless and serve, if you've got an area of your life that represents your own hurts and heartaches, prayer team will be here at the front, and you're invited to come and let someone pray with you, encourage you. Notice verse 13. Authentic serving love includes meeting tangible needs and practicing hospitality. Recall Mulholland's description, we're being formed into the likeness of Christ for the sake of others. So we need to start to think and act on this reality. To think and act on this reality. It goes like this. I always get more and grow more when I show up to give more for others. I always get more and grow more when I show up to give more for the sake of others. Would you dare to ponder that? Work that over? Pray that through? Start to live that out? Now, I have to admit to you, I don't always feel like showing up. And not just on Sunday mornings. I mean, like all the stuff that requires showing up in life. Work and neighborhood stuff and serving in the community and stuff with family and extended family and all that show up stuff. I mean, is there anybody here you'd say, I always love showing up for everything? It's rare. Now, maybe you've figured it out. I'm an extrovert. And yet there are times I am peopled out. Anybody else? Sometimes you're just peopled out. Yeah, okay. Some days are just too people-y out there. I had a couple of those days this week. There are days I feel spent, both physically and emotionally. Now, I love people, and I love coffee, but there are days when there's not enough coffee to keep up with the number of people. And so it's like, And that's why it's so crucial, it's so important. To be honest, we've each got limited resources, but here's where the grace of God kicks in when we're willing to humbly slow down and clue into the grace of God. The grace of God reinvigorates us. The grace of God re-energizes us to keep showing up for the sake of others, to be Jesus' hands and feet. Now, we're almost done today. And we're going to take some next steps together next week, exploring 1 Corinthians 12. So I invite you, marinate in 1 Corinthians 12 all week long. There's info on the church app about that, at Church Center, and then you can select Manor Church and just spend time. I encourage you, every day this week, read 1 Corinthians 12. Who we are, our grace gifts, and being Christ's body. We're going to take next steps in that next week. But just a couple things as we wrap up. Maybe you're wondering about your own gifts, or it's been a while since you reconsidered yours. How do you know? How do you know? Well, a couple thoughts. Consider taking an inventory, a test, a survey. Here's a simple and insightful one. Gifttest.com. This will take you a hot 5 minutes to do, and boom, it'll spit to you a set of pieces of info about who you are, and it's a really good one. Now, it's not the end all. You might read this one and go through this one and be like, they included some gifts I don't like, or they didn't include others I do like. We see that even across the New Testament. You'll see it when you read 1 Corinthians 12 this week. There are different gifts listed. Don't get hung up on that. You can just be googly and look and find a test that you like even more than this one, but this is a good starting point. It's one way to discover. Now, another way to discover your gifts is to, you ready for this? Just jump in and serve somewhere. Seriously. Now, you're going to hear more about this coming up. During this series, we're going to tell you more about opportunities to serve. We have so many, both right here in these walls and out in the community and global dreams as well. One of the cool things, though, is to just jump in. But don't just jump in and get busy. Jump in and then be vulnerable enough as you start to serve to ask others, what do you see in me? How do you think I'm gifted? What do you sense might be my gifts? So much can be gained by serving alongside others and inviting their input. Now, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet because we're going to get ready. The team's coming to lead us in a closing song. And so I invite you to go ahead and stand. Let's stand to our feet if you're physically able. Go ahead. I've got one more pointer for you. This gift test, as well as other info, is linked there on our church app at Church Center. So again, you just go there. And I want to encourage you to do this. If you don't have the app yet, you need it. You're going to want it throughout this series. Church Center and then choose Manor Church. But now here's the biggie takeaway. Whatever you do, as you leave here this morning, realize we've got opportunities all week long to be Jesus' hands and feet. So like as we wrap up here today, after we sing the song and you exit, let it be there on the tippy top of your mind and heart. Like, who can I bless? How can I be towards somebody else right now? I heard right after the 9 o'clock service, I heard people were exiting going, "Hey, we're going to lunch together. We haven't caught up lately." It's awesome. Maybe you should take somebody to lunch today. Maybe you ought to make plans to do something that's going to be others oriented right away as you leave today. We've got opportunities. The next few minutes and all week long. Let's make the most of them. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you that you gave your life on the cross, your body there. You rose again in your glorified body. You ascended back to heaven in your body, and you call us your body. Help us live as your body, your hands and feet this week, all for your glory. Help us be hands up, offering ourselves, presenting ourselves all for you, all week long, Jesus. Amen.